Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you? Good, good. Well, I am joining hundreds, if not thousands, of youth pastors around our nation today who are preaching sermons because the pastors have gone on vacation, and so we are here preaching sermons today. So, I'm glad to be here. Glad to have the opportunity to proclaim the Word of God. Before we get into the message, though, I want to just kind of give you a quick rundown on a couple of things that have been happening in the youth ministry. We have had just a really, really good semester, and this is not because of me or anyone else, this is just God. And we have had 13 young people over the course of this semester express faith in Jesus for the first time. So let's just praise God. We're in the process of following up with all of them. It's kind of crazy to do, to chase them down and figure out how to follow up. We're in the process of trying to follow up and share with them what it means to get baptized, what it means to take the next steps in their Christian walk. And so please pray for us as we're on that journey. I look forward to hopefully, in the months to come, having a lot of those kids get baptized. That would be really cool. Well, I hope you had a Merry Christmas. I know we did. I know it was awesome to watch my kids, two boys under 4 years old, freak out about Christmas. That was really cool. But I also kind of had a freak out moment thanks to my wife and thanks to Brad. I got this cool shirt, and if you can see, it says hashtag Ninjared, an American Ninja Warrior, shooting for round three with a little more success this time, submitting the video in January. We'll see what happens. And on the back, it's one of my favorite verses: with the strength of my God, I can scale any wall. And so that's pretty cool. There's a wall involved, and so I kind of like that. So thank you to my wife. I kind of freaked out about that. I don't remember anything else I got, but I got pretty excited about that. Christmas, it was great. It was awesome, and I hope you enjoyed it. But the reality is it's over, and now we're moving on. And now we're moving on to New Year's. And when it comes to New Year's, you know what that means. It means resolutions. Everybody say resolutions.
Resolutions.
Right. Resolutions. There's mixed feelings, right? Mixed feelings with New Year's resolutions. Some people love them because you're great at keeping them, which is not very many of us. And some people hate them because it just reminds you and makes you bitter that you never really accomplished them, right? And as I was thinking about resolutions, I thought about, I'm going to go to Google and see what some of these silly and crazy resolutions people have made are. And so here's some of the ones that I found as we went. One was that I will resolve not to ask dumb questions to Siri. Any of you? Is that you? You may laugh at that, but that may be you. Quietly in your room, you know, you sit and you kind of, Siri, you ask really dumb things. Is that you? If it is, maybe you should consider that one. Another one that I can relate to over the last couple months is I will resolve option A, lose weight, or option B, buy bigger jeans. All right, so like, I'm supposed to be an American Ninja Warrior, but lately I've been more like Kung Fu Panda. I've been eating like crazy, so I need to get back at it so I can relate to that one. Another kind of dumb one I found is I will resolve that I'll think of another password other than password. And another one I found is maybe some of you guys, maybe Josh Nash, you think that you can work out as much as this guy, the Hulk. Let's see that. Maybe you can beat him by the end of the year. What do you think? Think you guys can do that? Maybe so. We'll see by the end of 2016. You're going to look like that man. I believe in you. Another one that kind of starts to get a little more real is I will learn what the word resolution means. You can relate to that, right? I'll actually learn what this means. Or I promise to stick to these more than a week. I think we can relate to that. Or this kid. My goal for 2015 is to accomplish the goals of 2014, which I should have done in 2013 because I promised it in 2012 and planned in 2011. Anybody relate? Anybody relate? I think we can all relate to that, right? We struggle with these. We struggle with these resolutions. We think, man, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to accomplish these, but we are like that guy. That kid's really wise. He says a lot of great things, right? But we're not alone, right? We struggle with commitment. We struggle with discipline. We struggle to keep these resolutions. And I can relate to that. I've made some this year that I did really good in my workout stuff. And even spiritually, I feel like I had a great year with the Lord. I had more quiet times and more time in prayer and those things. But I also made one resolution that I'm in the middle of cramming to finish because I've got, 4 days? Is that right? I think I've got 4 days. But I told God that I would read the Bible from cover to cover. While I've read a lot of this, and I've spent a lot of time with the Lord, I have not finished that. I just kind of like maybe some of you, I forgot I made the resolution. I forgot that I was just going to read straight through it. And so I got away from my reading plan, totally forgot about it, started doing other things, reading other Christian books about the Bible, forgot about it. So I wanted to tell you how I'm with you. I can relate to you if you struggle to keep your resolutions. And sometimes I even think, what's the point of these resolutions if we always fail? But then I read Philippians 3, 13 and 14. I think we have that put on the screen. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So let's just do this together, everybody, right now. Forget about your past failures and resolutions. All right, just forget about it. We are moving forward together. Everybody in agreement with that, say amen.
Amen.
That's not everybody. Everybody in agreement with that, say amen. Amen. All right, just make sure you're alive and with me this morning, all right? We make these resolutions because we want to move forward. And so let's forget about the failures and let's think about moving forward, because the reality is there's no achievement without goals. We need to set these goals. We need to have goals to move forward. So I think it's a good thing to make resolutions. And while you may be considering resolutions about your diet or about your exercise plan or about organizational methods, I want to pitch one to you this morning that you would expect the preacher to say. And here's what it is. As Corey would say, this is our say it in a sentence. Here it is. Let's resolve to read and apply the Word of God in 2016. I know. That's not earth-shattering news, but let's just dive into that this morning. 2016, let's resolve to read and apply the Word of God in 2016. Because I think if all of us were honest, we would admit that we struggle with that. We're busy. We're distracted. And while we love the Word of God, and we would say we believe it is from God, it is inspired, it will change our lives, we struggle to spend time in the Word of God. I'm going to read Psalm chapter 1. You can turn there if you'd like, it will be on the screen. Psalm 1 says this: How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Psalm 1 says that the person who studies, meditates, applies the Word of God will be blessed. Everybody say blessed.
Blessed.
You will be blessed. What that word means is you will be happy, you will have fulfillment, even if you're going through difficult times. You will be blessed if you are applying the Word of God. And here's the reality. It's not like God is this mean school teacher that we see in movies from the past that's like slapping us on the wrist on the hand with a ruler saying, read it, read it, read it. It's not it at all. It's God as a loving Father saying, hey, I love you, and I want you to know how to have a relationship with me. I want you to know how to walk with me. I want you to know how to honor me. And I have given you the way to do that through my Word. I love you. He's a loving Father. We've seen that song all the time. He's a good, good Father. He wants us to read it and apply it. You know, in Exodus 19, we'll have that on the screen as well. Exodus chapter 19, Moses receives the Word of God on Mount Sinai. If you've read Exodus 19, it's pretty awesome. If you haven't, then read it. It's this mountaintop experience where Moses gets the Word of God, he gets the law, and Moses is told by God, go down and share this law with the people. And in verses 7 and 8, here's what happens. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. They made a resolution. Moses comes down, he kind of gets a mental picture, comes down from the mountain, he gathers all the elders, all the people, he says, here's what God has told us to do. Tells them word for word. And they say, we will do all of that. But then you look and the rest of Exodus expresses what that law said. Chapter 20 says, no idols. What happens later? They make a golden calf. Those people that said they would never abandon the Word of God, they make a golden calf. And really, the people who said they would keep all of these commandments, they virtually broke every single one of those commandments. They broke their resolutions. Like us, they struggled with that. And as the years went on for the Israelites, they struggled to keep the Word of God, but then they really just totally neglected it and didn't even know what was in it. They didn't even know that there was a Word of God. They lost it. They lost total connection with it. And what happened? How did that happen? Well, as they journeyed to the Promised Land and their busyness of going into battle and the tough times of exile and slavery, I think they got distracted. I think they were totally distracted from daily consumption of the Word of God. And it's not like they didn't have access. In Deuteronomy 17 and Deuteronomy Deuteronomy 34, God tells the priests, keep this law with you at all times. Keep the law by the Ark of the Covenant. They had access. And what do we have? We have these things, tablets, we have phones, we have these things. We have access. Bill alluded to it earlier. We all have access, right? But just like them, we don't take advantage of that sometimes. We totally neglect it. We forget about it, just like the Israelites. And what did that result for the Israelites? Well, they end up having these kings. And most of the kings were evil. Most of the kings did evil in the sight of the Lord. If you were to read 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, it would say, here's such and such a king, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. Most of them struggled. And if you were to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 33, you would see Manasseh. Everybody say Manasseh.
Manasseh.
Everybody say Amon.
Amon.
These two dudes were wicked. They were wicked. It says in 2 Chronicles 33, we don't have this one on the screen, but it says this, that Manasseh made his sons pass through the fire. Child sacrifice. He was evil. He was terrible. And he's not the only one. These kings, they got away from the word of God, and these kings were leading their people to adopt the ways of the surrounding culture. And the Israelites and the people of Judah are totally neglecting the word of God. Then after Manasseh and after Amon, we run into a guy named Josiah. And we're going to look at that together in chapter 34, verses 1 and 2. And this is crazy to me what happens. Chapter 34, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David and did not turn aside to the right or left. All right, first off, I read verse 1, and how old was he?
8 years
old when he became king. That's pretty crazy, first off. And that's you know, a big deal, 8-year-old king. And then he reigned for how long? 31 years. That's a big deal, too. You know, like, that's a pretty long time. And while that's really cool, what blows my mind way more than an 8-year-old king and way more than a 31-year reign is that he stopped following the pattern set by Manasseh and Amon. He did right in the sight of the Lord. He stopped doing the terrible deeds of Manasseh and Amon. He said, I'm going to stop and I'm going to return to the ways of my father David, and we're going to get back to following God. And he put his money where his mouth was. In verse 4, it says, they tore down the altars of the Baals in his presence. And the incense altars that were high above them, he chopped down. Also the Asherim, the carved images and the molten images he broke in pieces and ground to powder and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. You see, he said, I'm not just going to say we're going to return to the ways of God. I'm going to go chop down all the idols. We're going to do this thing. And not only that, I'm going to collect money. The rest of the chapter says he goes on this fundraising campaign to collect money to rebuild the temple. And he's rebuilding the temple. And as they're rebuilding the temple, they get this money. And Hilkiah, the high priest, as he's taking the money into the temple to count it, he finds something. He finds the law. And he says, what is this? We've neglected it. He passes it on. It ends up getting read to Josiah. And Josiah tears his robes. That's a sign in that day of grief, of remorse. He tears his robes. And he says, we are filthy. We are terrible. We have neglected the word of God. And after he realizes that he has neglected the word of God, he says this to the people. And this is verses 29 and 30. Then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah in Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord and all the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, the Levites, and all the people, from the greatest to the least. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Hilkiah finds the law. It's read to Josiah. He is grieved. And he says, hey, I've got to get everybody. I've got to get them together. And I've got to preach to them the word of God. So he shares with them what was in it. And then in verses 31 through 33, we see what happens next. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord. And to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant written in this book. Moreover, he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand with him. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God and the God of their fathers. Josiah removed all the abominations from the lands belonging to the sons of Israel and made all who were present in Israel to serve the Lord their God. Throughout his lifetime, they did not turn from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. If you're still with me, say, I'm with you.
I'm with you.
Just making sure we've read a lot. Here we go. Josiah, he says, I'm going to make a resolution. And if we're going to I'd say Josiah is our God. He is our God. He says, I found the word of God, I've heard it, and it's grieved my soul that we've neglected it. Now I am telling all my people we are going to follow it. And he said, before these people, he stood there and made a covenant, made a commitment. I am going to follow all this, and not only am I going to follow it, you're going to follow it with me. And so it says in his lifetime, they did not stop following the word of God. That's pretty incredible. I want to make resolutions like that. I want to keep them like that. I want to have that kind of discipline. And I think it might start for you and me to grieve for a little bit how much we've neglected the word of God in the past. And this is not to make you feel guilty. This is not to just like guilt you into reading the word of God. This is to just help us see we need this. God is a good Father that wants us to know how to love him and how to serve him. Let's just kind of be like Josiah, tear our robes, not literally, and just be like, oh my goodness, I sin. I'm neglected. It may not just be that you've neglected. It may be that you're actively committing sin against your Heavenly Father. Think about that this morning. Where do you need to repent? Where do you need to turn? But then after Josiah repents and after he has his remorse, he makes these covenants, and I want you to go ahead, and as I continue preaching this morning, begin thinking through, what is my New Year's resolution going to be in this regard? In 2016, what kind of resolution am I going to make with the Word of God? Is it going to be that I read daily? Is it going to be that I try to read the whole thing? Is it going to be I just read the Old Testament? Begin thinking through what your resolutions are going to be. But then you parents out there, begin thinking about resolutions for how you're going to have your family read this as well. You know, Josiah didn't just do it alone. He said, everybody that's under my authority, we're doing this together. And so parents out there, grandparents out there, think through how you're going to apply and read the Word of God in 2016. It may involve a family night, once a week, once a month, where you read the Bible together, you talk about what it means, you go eat some ice cream together. Whatever it is, put it on your schedule. We are schedule-driven people, right? Put it on your schedule. If it's there, it'll get done. And if it doesn't get done every time, at least it happened more than it was happening. Make this a part of your life. It's got to be there. If we are not intentional, then it's not going to happen. You know, so many of the people in our churches, and I'm not just saying our church, but across America, they can relate to Israel. They virtually lost all connection with the Word of God. They belong to the people of God. They come to the house of God. But His Word is not a driving force in their life. And here's a question for you. To what degree do you relate to the people of Israel in that regard? You know, I don't think we're maliciously neglecting the Word of God. I just think we're busy. I just think we're distracted. We have to be intentional. I was reading a book called Transformational Discipleship, and he gave an illustration about a guy named Philip. Philip would go to the beach every summer with his family, and he would go down early in the morning, set up their spot so they could have the best spot on the beach. And Philip had two teenage sons who, after they woke up from staying up late, they'd come down and hang out on the beach. And Philip had one rule for his boys. Stay close to the family spot. Boys would get out there, they'd be boogie boarding, they'd be throwing the football, they'd be seeing how far out they could go in the ocean, and before they knew it, they'd look up, and they'd say, where in the world is our dad? We have drifted. And it's not that they were being malicious, that they just hated their dad, or hated staying close to the family spot, it's that they got so caught up in their fun, and their life, that they drifted. And I think that's what you and I are like a lot of times in regard to reading and applying this book. Is that we're so busy and so distracted that it's not that we're malicious, it's just that we've drifted. And if we don't have an intentional game plan of how we're going to have it in our life, we're going to drift. We're going to drift along. And part of your game plan, and I'm going to step on your toes, I'm going to step on my toes, part of your game plan is that following God or reading this will cost you something. Reading the Word of God will cost you something. It may cost you TV time. It may cost you device time. It may cost you binging on Netflix for 13 episodes of NCIS. I don't know what your TV show is, but it may cost you something. It will cost you something. Because I told you earlier that I forgot about my reading plan, right? And I felt terrible. Well, I realized that about a month and a half ago. And I was like, I'm going to read this. And so Sally and I have been sitting, no TV, in the evening after the kids go to bed, after they finally stop getting up. And go to bed, just sitting there just reading it. And I can tell you, man, it's been rich. And I haven't really missed that many football games or that shows that, like, I've missed watching them, but I haven't missed it, if you know what I mean. I haven't really missed it. It's been way better to read this book. It's going to cost you something. And I could give you a lot of advice on how to have time with this book. You could do it in the morning. You could do it in the evening. You could read a quiet time book. You could read books about the Bible. You could memorize scripture. There are hundreds and hundreds of ways. Corey gave you some great ways, a sermon about a month ago, how to be intentional in having quiet times. And if you're not familiar, our church has a subscription to Right Now Media. Everybody say Right Now Media.
Right Now Media.
Right Now Media is a video subscription that some of our Sunday school teachers have to use, but it's something that all of our church members can use. It has video sermons, it has video Bible studies for all ages. I'd encourage you, take advantage of that. If you want us to send you an email, we'll send you an email with a link, and you can log in, and you can have full access to that. We have access, guys. We have access. But it's as simple as doing it. Putting it on our calendar and doing it. Without a premeditated decision to read, study, apply, we will drift further and further and further away like Philip's two teenage boys. And I know a lot of you, I'm preaching to the choir, it's December 27th, a lot of people are traveling, you guys are consistent, you're here. I know a lot of you are doing it. The Word is a part of your life. Your attitude reflects it. The peace you have in the middle of trial reflects that the Word is in you and you're reading it often. And you're probably sitting like on the edge of your seat saying, preach it, not because you're pious or self-righteous, but because you know without the Word of God, you would be in trouble. And you're saying, hey man, everybody in here, let's do this. Let's read this together. Let's do it. And to those of you who are already doing it, I want to encourage you as you think through your resolution to think about this. How much deeper will I drink from the spring of life? How much deeper will I go? Because maybe you're already doing great. Go deeper. Go deeper. God has more. And maybe you're already reading, but you haven't been getting to apply it. Look for ways to serve through Sunday school or through mission activities. Go deeper. To those of you who know the Savior, and as I've been talking about busyness and distraction, you've tuned me out because you feel conviction, I want to encourage you to think about how can you apply this in your daily life. Quit tuning me out. Quit tuning the Spirit out. If you're being too busy for the Word of God, you're missing it. You're missing what matters. You're not living the fulfilled life. To those of you who know the Savior, but you rarely open the Word of God because you just don't know how to use it, don't be embarrassed by that. This is a big book. It's one book, 66 books. How does it work? And who wrote it? There's a lot of stuff going on here. Don't be embarrassed if you don't know how to use it. Your Sunday school teachers, your pastors, your friends that know how to read the Bible, they can help you. Just start somewhere. I'd encourage you to start in the book of John and just read it. If you have questions, jot them down. Just keep reading. Keep reading. Don't be embarrassed if you don't know how to use it. There's also a table of contents. For me, that's very helpful. Keep reading. To those of you in this room who don't read or study or apply because you have not met the one who this book is about, can I introduce you to Jesus? He loves you. He loves you so much he died on the cross for your sins. He rose from the dead, and he has eternal life for you if you will believe. If you will say to God, I'm a filthy, nasty sinner, just like everybody else in the world, and I am sorry for my sin, and I trust that Jesus died for me, I trust that he rose from the dead, and I give you control of my life. If you will do that, Jesus will save you. Jesus will forgive you. He will make you clean. He will give you peace. He will give you everything you need. As we have a time of invitation this morning, the band can go ahead and come on up. And as we have that time, I want to encourage you this morning, if you're ready to make resolutions, make it. I'd say find a pencil or pen that's close to you. Write it down. 2016, I will dot, dot, dot. I will read the entire Bible. I will read the entire New Testament. I will read the entire Old Testament. During the invitation time, if you're not ready to make those resolutions because you don't want to break it like you have all the other ones, start to think about what should I do? What should be different? How can I keep it? Do I need to have an accountability partner who I read with? Husbands, wives, that's not a bad idea, right? To read together, to kind of keep each other accountable. If you as parents are going to say we're going to have a family time, go ahead and write down it's going to be Tuesday, it's going to be Thursday, it's going to be the second Tuesday of every month, then go ahead and start chewing on what is my resolution? What am I going to do? And it's not because you just want to add this to your list, but because this will drive everything else in your list. This will drive everything else in your schedule. time with God changes everything. And if you this morning said you don't read because you don't know Jesus, during the invitation time, come down. I would love to lead you in that direction. It's my favorite thing in the world to do, is to help people believe in Jesus. But during this song of invitation, respond in whatever way you need to. Let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll stand and sing together. Father God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the opportunity to think about returning to the Word of God. I pray, Father God, that whatever your Holy Spirit has said this morning, that we will respond accordingly. God, you are so good. Help us not to miss it, not to miss what you have for us, but to digest your word, to read it, to apply it, so we can give you glory and honor, and we can have the best life ever. I pray this in Jesus' name.